Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
All right, it is time for a very special episode of the N4G Radios. And I have a packed house with one to show up soon, which would be the Wombat. But with us right now, we have GambusCon.
Greetings, programs.
I'm going to say that at your funeral.
At my funeral?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, man. That'd be excellent.
Let's be excellent to each other.
Yes.
And also with us, we have K-Doop.
Hey.
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 And we have the Frustrated Fury.
Yeah.
And there we go with the bus again. We've got John W.
Hello.
With his Instagram hip photo.
Well, it's better you whinge because I haven't changed my photo in ages. So when I do change it, you then bitch about the fact it's Instagram.
Oh, John, I just feel the need to bitch all the time when I'm talking about you.
Thanks. That's nice. Thanks.
I still love you. And we have a very special guest, a man who spent his last weekend in the wonderful, lovely city of Boston for PAX East. You may remember him. His name is Futon.
What, honey? No, honey, I'm doing the podcast right now. I can't. Hold on. I gotta check to see if I... Oh, was I muted?
No.
Am I okay?
No, you're not muted.
Yeah, you're muted. Just tell me you was muted.
I couldn't not.
I'm sure your wife wishes she had a mute button for you.
Oh my god, this is why we pass notes and we don't talk to each other.
It's the only way to stay civil in a marriage.
Oh god, tell me about it.
It looks like we might have lost Drew again. Somebody must be cutting his internet cable outside. But it doesn't matter because it's time for GambusCon to talk about his games, because we're gonna have to say. But basically, the show's gonna have a different format today because we have a total of 7 people on and a lot of games to talk about.
But we're gonna let it talk about.
We're gonna start with GambusCon.
Alrighty then.
Alright.
I'll start off really small. I worked my way up to really big.
There's a lot of jokes in there.
I know. I just realized that.
The circle of life.
Have you been getting those emails, Jason, about how to enhance things?
Oh, the, you mean the pump?
I was going to go with plus one pill of enlargement, but...
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of pills.
I need to get on your email lists.
I don't know how I feel about the dick pump.
Oh.
Embarrassing
just
stuff.
Just clean it out.
So go ahead.
Excuse me there.
That's nasty.
Yeah. Woo! All right. On the iPhone, I've been playing some cave shooters.
Cave shooters.
Yes.
So you shoot like in like a with some stalagmites?
No. Cave is a Japanese video game company that in Japan makes a lot of arcade games that are basically shoot 'em ups.
Shmup.
Yeah, and they've been nicknamed Bullet Hell games.
Bullet Hell.
Well, Cave is basically porting a nice little selection of their titles to iOS, and I bought a few of them. I guess you could say I was inspired by another podcast, the Gamer Horizon podcast that I gave my shout out to a couple weeks last few episodes, and they've been talking about these games as well. Let me see here, games such as Espeluga 2. I know that's
wow, that's on the email list.
Yeah, Dodonpachi.
Dodonpachi.
Yeah, and also Bug Princess.
Never mind.
But your Bug Princess is in another castle.
Indeed, she is.
But I really like the games. You know, they're like overhead, vertical scrolling games. Each one kind of has its own flavor. Dodonpachi is like your atypical modern day like spaceship shooting game, whereas Espeluga 2.
That name kills me.
Is that how you pronounce it? Do you know how to pronounce it? You know,
I don't know. It sounds so close to splooge, I just can't stop.
Espeluga.
Espeluga 2.
The Espeluga-ing?
Yes.
Espeluga harder?
Uh-huh. And that game has like a fantasy feel, like swords and sorcery, but you're flying and shooting fire and laser beams. It is.
That's very fantasy to me.
Yes. And
what was that fantasy shoot 'em up game back on like the NES?
Legendary Wings?
It could have been. You were walking forward and you could play as like a knight, a princess, or as like a lizard guy.
That wasn't Legendary Wings. Legendary Wings, you were definitely in the air.
Yeah.
No, this was you were walking, but it was like a vertical scrolling.
Was from your grave.
Man, I don't know. I know what all their beats. Now I'm curious of what this is. Now I'm gonna have to look it up.
Was from your grave. My way is what brings us here today.
But yeah, I've been playing those games on the iPhone.
iPhone.
Yeah,
it's a phone. But you got to download an app to make a call.
Yep,
it's called the Skype app.
Yeah, that's the future of iPhone. Call apps.
Claps?
Oh, yes. Snap.
It's the app where, because people forget that the phone, iPhone, is a cell phone, and you download it to make a phone call.
It's crazy, but I mean, it's fucking called an iPhone.
Yeah. They're going to make their own app. I'm just talking out my butt right now.
What else is new?
Yes, exactly.
There is an app for that, I'll tell you.
iFart.
iFart. Yeah.
Is that your preferred fart app? Because there's only like 7,000 of them.
It is, because it's free and it has no ads.
Well, see, actually what it does is you stick it up to your butt when you blow wind, and it translates it into a word.
Wait, is that like the dolphin talk?
Exactly. See, somebody right now is listening to this, and they're going to go make that app. What do you want to bet? Next week, there's going to be a fart translator.
I'm already on it. I'm working away on it right now.
Fart translator.
Fart translator.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what my ass is saying sometimes. Because it sounds disgruntled.
Please stop sitting on me.
Quick, get Chipotle away.
Yeah.
I can't breathe.
We're leading the trend of the 21st century trends on iPhones.
I'm going to call it Instafart. Hopefully Facebook will buy it from me.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to sapiotone your farts.
Yeah, scratch and smell, man. Scratch and smell.
You send that shit in a text message like, ooh, what's that? Scratch, scratch, scratch. Oh! Yeah,
if it comes out of the microphone.
It smells like corn.
Smells like a welfare fart.
I believe they call those, the more PC term is McDonald's farts.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wow, I'm glad this podcast has matured.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it reminds me of the good old days.
You can see a steady progression for the past, what, 5 years?
Exactly.
So it's not just me dragging things back down to the gutter? That's good to know.
Nah.
Yeah, like toward the beginning of the series, we were talking about asses, and now we're talking about farts, so who knows what the next thing
is. They go hand in hand. When you say ass, what do you think?
I'm sorry, I'm not fart. Hand in handing your ass or your farts.
Well, then why
it's
are
like
you
the
on
circle
this show?
Of life.
You are no fun, sir. What happened to you? You used to be fun.
That's because the last time I did it, I couldn't get the smell off for ages.
Well, you know, I thought you liked that.
Oh, reminds me of a quote. Reminds me of a line from Con Air.
You remember the lines from Con Air?
Well, there's one. It's like, oh man, it smells like somebody shit in your mouth. Well, he told me he loved me.
Wow.
Wow.
It was Dave Chappelle, actually.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I remember he was in that movie.
Yes, he was.
He got thrown from a plane.
Yep.
Throw Dave from the plane.
What?
No. I think we're past spoiler alerts for Con Air.
Okay. Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah, it's got Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr. in it.
What movie are you watching, Jason?
You're thinking of Air America, you idiot.
Oh!
Fucking hell.
Oh, John Cusack, Nicolas Cage, my friend.
And John Malkovich.
John Malkovich.
SARS virus.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi was in it, too.
Yeah, you know, I instantly thought of Air America just because it's like, I would think of Con Air as being quotable and not Air America.
Yeah, you're digging a fucking big hole here, mate. Just get on with your phone.
Yes, yes, I am. Good God, I just woke up 10 minutes ago.
God, I love you guys.
Yeah, you miss us, don't you? That's what it is, you miss us.
By the way, I found out what that game was because it bothered the hell out of me.
What's that?
King's Knight is the name of it.
Lies from your grave.
It was made by Square.
Before they were Squeenix.
Square.
You know, I don't think I've ever played that game.
Here's
a what game is
link
it?
To it. King's Knight.
Oh.
It was a vertical scrolling shooter, but you played as a knight and a princess and a mage and a dragon.
Hey, do you know that the princess is in another castle?
Oh, holy shit. This looks like the almost like the X-Men top-down.
It's probably the same game.
It's a lot like it.
Your mom is a knight and a mage and a dragon.
Hey, it's the one that...
She
okay,
told me
so
she was gonna stop it,
has
though.
Gambus talked about one game yet?
Yeah, I talked about cave shooters, man.
Okay.
Three
cave
of them.
Shooters.
It's amazing how we got off track on that.
Yes. And another game that we can get off track of is a 3DS title.
Yeah, that's about as off track as you'll get.
Yes. Kid Icarus Uprising.
Did we talk about this for like 4 hours last show?
Yeah. Pretty much everything is fantastic about this game. Except the controls.
And fail.
Skip to the end.
But
I'm sorry.
I like it.
I've got a question because I know I haven't been on the show in a while, but how is a game awesome if it controls like poop?
That's a great question. And the answer is...
it's pretty.
It's pretty. The music's great. The conceptual game is fantastic.
Now, wait a minute. Don't people herald Shadow of the Colossus?
Oh, shit.
That game plays like crap.
But you can make a ray of light with your sword.
We'll see. Maybe you can float around and shoot people in Kid Icarus.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah, there's
just not very well.
And shooting and flying and stuff in Kid Icarus, it's... It's pretty fantastic. It just makes my hand hurt after about three minutes.
Come
after
on, somebody.
There's no masturbation joke, John. Sorry.
Come on. You let the side down.
That's
too
easy.
Yeah, I've heard them all.
Because he masturbates a lot.
There you go. There's your joke, John.
Did anyone see the picture I stuck on Twitter?
About self-pleasure?
Oh, that was hilarious. It's just a TV show that was... I was scanning through the guide last night on TV. We got digital TV, a little guide come up. I'm not sure what it's like in the States, but basically all the channels you can skip through, see what's on.
I just yell at my TV.
How would you have Connect? I was going through and there was this show that came up. Basically, it was called... I'm addicted to masturbation. And that was the name of the show. So I thought, okay, this got to be interesting. So I selected it and clicked on the info that gives you more of a description about the show. And it just says, follow Tom as he struggles with his addiction and travels to the United States to find all weird and wonderful treatments. And then at the end it says, can he pull it off?
Oh my goodness.
I believe that show that I
fits of hysterics. It's brilliant. Anyway.
Wow. Somehow Jason's fondling goes to farts, butts, and masturbation, and I'm trying to figure this out.
It really shouldn't be that surprising.
It really shouldn't, even after all these years, but still.
Story of my life, I tell you what.
Masturbation?
Flying poop farts, what do you think?
Flying poop farts.
Man, I can't wait to the game that has those as an enemy. Perhaps if the South Park RPG ever does come out, we will get flying poop fart enemies.
I better get a Mr. Hanky power up or I'm not playing it.
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo, he loves me and I love you. Therefore, vicariously, he loves you.
Even if
he's a piece of poo.
Even if you're Mike Futon.
That was beautiful, man.
Thank you. You sure smell like flowers.
But, one more game I'm going to talk about.
And I'm so scared what this is going to lead to.
Yeah,
balls.
And for this, I would like the show to be very serious.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Because I want to do this particular title justice as I talk about it. This past week or so, I reviewed a Nintendo Wii game, and I gave it a 10 out of 10. And,
was it the South Park game?
No. It's a 9.7. Get that shit right, dog.
Not 10, come on. I mean, seriously, who'd give a game a 10?
Yeah, for real.
Well, I gave this game a 10. And this game is Xenoblade Chronicles. And it is one of the best Japanese role-playing games to come out in years.
Of Japan?
Yeah. Out of Japan.
I love it how you got shit for giving a game a 10 from people who like the game. That was the best part of that whole comment thread on the site.
Oh, you read the comments.
Dude, I commented on the comments.
Yeah.
There was a typo. Oh, God. I'm so... That was my fault. I took responsibility. I didn't catch the typo when I was reading it, but... Come on, man.
Yeah, you didn't give the game. It was in a good review. That game was so awesome. How could you only give it a 10?
It's like... I mean, it wasn't criticizing the score. It's just...
I know. I read that comment. Yeah, it was... bogus.
Bogus, dude. What's a Bill and Ted reference?
Yeah, I love trolls.
I do love trolls. Especially drunk trolls.
But they're... horned heads and slimy green skin. But anyway,
but you wanted to be serious.
Chronicles. Yes. I got serious.
I got serious, Sam.
Yeah.
I got serious XM radio. I thought that was clever. Fuck
that
y'all.
Stupid.
You're stupid.
They're coming.
Who coming?
So, how many of our crew still owns Nintendo Wii?
My dust collector?
My mind's in the second bedroom, unhooked.
Yeah.
Well, if you're into JRPGs, you might as well hook it back up.
I think I'll leave it unhooked.
Well, there you go.
Oh, shit.
But, to me, Xenoblade Chronicles reminds me almost like a MMO spiritual successor to The Secret of Mana. It's a fantastic game. The concept of the world of the game is that there's these two giant titans. One is called the Bionis, and the other one's called the Mechonis. And they're basically, both of them are about the size of continents. And they're fighting each other.
Which continent?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably a small one. But
Australia?
Yeah, probably about the size. How about the size of Australia? Both of them.
G'day.
Yeah, and they're fighting. They're sword fighting.
Super fighting continents.
Yeah. And they're fighting in a sea, but you don't even know what sea they're fighting on.
So it's a sea. Kinda...
In the sea, but we don't know what sea it is.
A sea of destiny.
And they basically both strike a fatal attack to each other.
They both strike a fatal attack to each other.
Man, I feel like I'm playing Blue Dragon.
Chicken steak now.
Chicken steak. But both of these giant titans basically are in suspended animation.
Suspended animation.
And they're
this still is gonna going to go on for the rest of his bodily visit.
They're still standing up with their weapons, and over eons and eons of time.
No one? Really? No? Okay.
I was thinking it. I'm just like, you know, if they're standing up with their weapons, were they really fighting? Were mommy and daddy wrestling?
They might have been. They might have been. That's a good point. But
that's what she said.
Yeah. Oh. Over time, life.
Finds a way.
Finds a way.
I think I saw that video when I was in the
That was too perfect.
I'm sorry, that was just... It just laid itself on the floor. It was like a slow pitch down the middle.
You didn't do that whole...
I was going to, but then I thought that somebody would interrupt me in the middle of it. So.
Oh, my God.
And basically, life pretty much forms on both of the... both on the Titans' bodies.
I'll get you a towel.
Like monsters and animals and creatures... And even
oh my,
chicken steak.
Humans.
Humans so, grow on the dead titans' bodies.
Yes,
that's gross. They're
not even called humans. They're called Holmes.
Like what up, Holmes?
Yeah, like what up, Holmes?
Like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Hold on. I just want to make sure I really understand this game. So these two giant things are quote fighting, and then they get life on each other.
Pretty much after
I think they were wrestling.
They die and, yeah,
they were doing the vertical mambo.
Yeah, wow. Did one of them lift the other one up and push him against the wall or something? Her against the light?
No.
Is the life really sticky?
This is a progressive giant couple. Okay.
Oh my.
Holy crap.
And I haven't gotten to the gameplay yet.
Oh, come on. I had to sit through exactly the same thing when listening to week before's podcast. Come on.
Giant semen-covered robot, yeah.
Chicken steak. But anyway, long story short, you're this guy who's in this town, this city called Colony 6. It gets
Colony
invaded.
What?
Colony 6.
Uh-huh, that's what I thought.
Yeah. It gets invaded by a bunch of robots from the body of the other Titan, the Mechonis. And basically you have to fight them, and you have to discover the secret of the worlds.
I know
the world
secret.
Of the game. And it's the The gameplay is real time, and it plays similar to like an MMO. A lot of people compared the battle system to Final Fantasy XII. I think that this is actually funner and a little.
We're making up words.
Yeah, funner and an overall better. Better system. I think Womble in particular will actually like this game.
Does he really? Like semen covered continents?
Oh.
Yeah. Because
it is my weakness.
This game has a lot of loot.
I thought you said lube. I really did.
Oh my.
No, this game has a lot of loot. Every enemy that you defeat gives you something. About half of the armor or weapons that I'm carrying I got from defeated enemies. And there's also lots of items that are just scattered around the world. And you're always collecting resources and stuff like that. At times it feels a little bit like Monster Hunter. And other times it feels like a little bit like World of Warcraft. And then other times it feels like Secret of Mana. So
sometimes it
feels this,
like making
collage
love.
Of like a who's who of like RPG awesomeness. And another thing that's interesting about this game is that when you go into a town or if you run into someone, they'll have quests, side quests. And there is a ton of side quests in this game. A huge, huge selection of side quests. You just talk to people, and you're getting side quests left and right. And
do they involve collecting things?
Yes, they do. Like collect me like 4 dead chickens or something. And
what?
What's cool? Like compared to other like MMOs,
you said collect. As if dead chickens are just littered all over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's one on the tree.
Who collects dead chickens? Apart from farmers, obviously collect chickens. Who collects dead chickens?
I do.
I'm going to go with the crazy sticky light people.
Yeah.
Is like the motto of this game, life is sticky, gooey badness.
No, it's nowhere near that. But, what was I talking about? The items. Yeah, that's right.
What was it?
Yeah. Yeah, Wombat.
Yeah.
You really like this because when you get items, armor, weapons, when you equip them, it actually changes the look of your characters.
That's always solid.
Yeah. It's really cool. And there's always new items to be had, like, a lot when you're fighting enemies and stuff. You're always getting new armors, new boots, gauntlets, helmets. it's really awesome game. And this game probably has some of the best environments ever. Ever. Like, it's been a long time since I've really wanted to explore every nook and cranny of a game, you know? Every time I go into a new area, I want to explore every square inch of it because the environment is just so incredible.
I just love the start of a relationship where you just want to explore every nook and cranny of your partner.
Oh, yeah. And right now, I'm working... Well, I was about ready.
Have you gotten to third base with the game yet? That's all I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You little whore.
Yep. But, yeah, it's really, interesting because, like, there's this area where you make it to the kneecap of Bionis. You start off with the shin.
Oh, man, they have... Of the back of those kneecaps are so soft.
Yeah,
this game sounds like a sexual simulation. I don't know.
Start down the shin, play the color game.
Uh huh.
If any relationship I was ever in took 80 hours, I'd just be done.
Yeah. Well,
You're not Sting, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Kneecap.
Tantric gaming.
You can actually look over the edge, and basically you see a bunch of clouds and stuff. If you look straight ahead, you could actually see the Mechonis in the distance. And if you look straight up, you can actually see part of the body of what you're on, the Bionis. But it's obscured by cloud formations because it's so far away in the air that there's clouds obscuring your vision. And it's just really freaking cool. And there's day and night cycles in this game. Depending on if it's day or night, has a different theme music. Every area has its own different theme music, both day and night.
Does it have a different theme music when you're on the dark side of his moon?
do they tell you it's a horrible night to have a curse?
You know, that would be pretty sweet.
Have you made it to Fromundaland yet?
I hear they make great cheese.
But long story short, you basically just you explore the world of the game. A lot of interesting questions come up in terms of like the existence of mankind and reality, and you know, I guess some
shit like that.
Some pseudo religious discussions happen in the game because this game is made by the same creators as Xenogears and Xenosaga, so it has some of the same questions, and
they like that Xeno word, don't they?
Yeah. Thing is, though, originally this game was called Monardo, and then there was a subtitle. I forgot what the subtitle was, but it was called like Monardo Power of the Sword or something like that. But the only reason why they named it Xenoblade is because for marketing reasons, and it was actually kind of late in the game's development when they changed the name, but the subject matters that they talk about are similar. Granted, they're not quite nearly as dark. They're like in Xenogears and Xenosaga, how it gets like really dark on like a religious level, like blending like sci-fi with like almost like an anti-Christian message.
Wasn't that supposed to be the premise behind Xenogears, is that you were supposed to kill Christ?
Not Christ, but like the creator.
Yeah. So yeah. It was the same principle.
Yeah, it doesn't go in that direction.
I remember when that game came out about that, cuz in the game there's people like being crucified and stuff. It's very religious.
I played that. You're talking about the original Xenoblade?
Xenogears for
PS1. The original Xenogears. Like the two-disc one where the first disc was great and the second disc went batshit crazy.
Yep.
I played that entire game and it was so long ago that I don't remember that. Man, now I feel like I need to go play it again.
I'm not even going to make a comment about that.
Nope. Moving on.
But this game does ask some of the same questions, like what is God, what is creation, you know, why are we all here,
stuff
like that. But it doesn't go quite as dark of a resolution as the other games did. And on top of that, it takes a long time for those type of themes to show up in the game. This game is like a good 100-hour game. And that's like if you probably did maybe half of the side quests. Maybe. And it's a huge game. And like I said, the meat and potatoes of the story doesn't even really happen until probably about halfway through the game. The first half of the game is just your straight up good old fashioned like JRPG that plays like an MMO, and it's fun. It's a fun game. I love the battle system. I love just leveling up. It's a blast. It's fantastic. I like it better than Final Fantasy 13 by a long shot. It's up there with Lost Odyssey in terms of JRPGs of this generation. Lost Odyssey, great game. Really great, really awesome. But I think this just nudges a little bit, you know, in terms of the overall fun factor for me. It's a great game. I gave it a 10 out of 10. Not because I think it's a perfect game. I don't think it's the perfect game because it's not everybody's going to have the same taste as I do. But I figured that when I looked at the rest of the collection of Wii titles that you can get for your Nintendo Wii, honestly, if you're into JRPGs, I don't think you could do any better on the Nintendo Wii. It's up there with the latest Zelda game. And that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm glad I cut out news today.
Yeah, exactly. Holy cow.
But in all fairness, it was our fault.
This is true.
Mostly mine.
Yep.
I have some sad news on this day of my daughter's wedding. we have lost
out of the bag.
We have lost Drew.
Entirely?
Yes, his internet is dead.
Oh, that makes me sad in the pants.
So,
oh.
He got to miss almost all of that. And I feel bad.
I feel jealous.
You know what? You're a miserable prick.
I know, I love it.
Do you have any future fondling, Gambus?
If he did, he's not going to talk about it now after you guys just savaged him.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Savaging. I thought we made sweet, sweet love.
I mean, Gambus has been on this show for 6 years. He knows the role. He knows what's going down.
Yeah.
Did you notice half the time he just ignored us and just kept talking? He knows what's going on.
You know, daft.
Yep.
Do you have future?
More Kid Icarus. You know, I mean, granted, yeah, the controls aren't ideal. However, there is a very high addictive factor to the game. Getting new weapons, going further into the game's narrative just to see what awesome graphical effects, what really cool dialogue sequences, which I gotta say, in terms of like spoken dialogue, it probably has one of the most entertaining Kid Icarus is probably one of the most entertaining audio gaming experiences I've had in a long time. Not just in terms of soundtrack, but the characters are literally talking throughout the whole game as you're playing each level, and it is some of the most entertaining banter ever.
So you're going to be playing Kid Icarus?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Wrap it up, B.
That's the long and short of it, or the long of it.
Yep, that's the short, long
that's
of
the
it.
Long and veiny of it.
Yep.
Oh.
I'm going to move over to K-Dub.
Let's see how long I can take. You ready?
I got the stopwatch. It's right. Going.
I played Ridge Racer for the Vita and Uncharted 3 for the PS3. Done!
Hey!
Is that record?
Whoa! That might be a record.
Score!
And
Witcher for this week. Suck it!
The Witcher? You gonna play The Witcher for this week?
I am.
The Witcher 2.
Who cares?
Your mom.
We had a discussion about this earlier. We care.
No one asked you.
This is true, John. Nobody did ask you.
You limey fuck.
Whoa! Yankee cocksucker.
Oh!
There
shit.
You go.
Wow, I thought you guys liked each
oh,
other.
Oh, we do.
We did?
John.
No, I'm telling you, you don't.
Okay, then. I guess I'll move on to the limey cocksucker.
Hey, John.
I mixed them up.
John. John.
What?
John.
What?
John.
What?
John. I love you.
No, oh, you have to tell him to shut up.
Okay, I've been off for sort of 3 weeks now, so I've probably played a fair bit, but I'm not going to prattle on too much.
What's a prattle?
I prattle. I go on. on and on. Duergambus.
I feel like I'm on Reading Rainbow. What the fuck?
What have I played? For review, I have played Anomaly Warzone.
I'm so glad Mike Futter's on.
I heard you futtered it.
You did.
I did futter it. Apparently, I pulled the score down quite considerably. I gave it, 6.4, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, which was 2 points below the next review, I think, almost.
Holy shit. To be fair, there's nothing wrong with the game. It's actually a nice take on tower defense, you know, putting you in the shoes, or the other shoes, so to speak. It's well made, it's pretty slick, the controls are pretty cool. It's just, it doesn't really bring enough new to it. As you progress, you get a few new weapons and, units. but it's... it was good. It just went on a bit too much. I felt it was a bit repetitive, and it also gets incredibly difficult as you go into the second area.
Don't all tower defense games really get super hard, super fast?
Yeah, but there's normally a sort of steady curve, the difficulty. And this, the first zone I went through, because it's split into these two zones. First zone was. Nothing wrong with that, it's pretty fine, breaks you in quite gently, and then all of a sudden second zone, it's like, bam, there you go, and it's like, whoa, and it's...
Oh, please say that again. Just for me.
And it's... and all of a sudden, like, where the hell did that come from? It was like, it literally does go from one extreme to the other, so to speak, and that was a bit of a letdown. It's a good game. I'm 6.4, I think it's a good score for that game. I just... didn't feel it was warranted anymore. If you're a tower defense fan, then you know it's how much is it? Is it 800 or 1200?
I think it's 800.
Yeah, it's worth picking up for $10. It's, you know, it's good. Also played for review, Tropico, Modern Times expansion. Indeed, I'm not going to do it. I'll let someone else do it. The Modern Times expansion pack, which ask that again. It's great if you like Tropico.
Which you do.
I do. It's got 12 more campaigns, and it's similar in vein, but you get the option of building, as you progress through time, the buildings and blueprints that you have become more modernized. So at the start, when you sort of start off in the late 50s, 60s, you've got farms, but as you progress into the 70s, you can turn them into biofarms, which then increase the money that you earn from selling the goods. And again, with like the buildings, you can turn them into nice, shiny, modern day buildings with helipads on top. And it's a nice little update. It's still as funny as anything. I mean, the writing in that game is so brilliant. They do such a good job of poking fun and make that kind of era and that kind of South American political scene. Very funny. The only thing I think is a little bit steep as a price.
Was it $20? Or 15?
Well, it was $15.
$15. And
you get 12 campaigns. They're solid campaigns. Or 12, you know. It just, I don't know, it just seems a little bit steep. This probably would have been slightly better had it been 800, but I'm not going to take too much away from it. If you're a Tropico fan, then you're going to like it. You're going to buy it. It's worth that 4 count. Also, I decided to buy myself I found it very, very cheap, a PSP Go. So I thought I'm going to pick one of those up.
PSP so went.
Sorry?
PSP went to the bargain bin.
Indeed, it was a bargain.
How much did you pay for that? $5?
Well, put a zero on the end and you're about right, but that's still
ouch.
Dirty.
Wow.
That's dirty.
Not for
you
a dead
you realize... why?
I mean,
you have a Vita, right?
Hang on, I haven't finished what I was talking about.
Yeah,
shut your
dick
up, let me finish.
Shut your what?
My cock holster is rather empty right now, so...
That's good to know.
The reason why I bought it is that I can run a Schmemulator on it. and play some really nice old games.
Pirates.
So I had a friend. I had a friend who was able to do that all for me in a few moments and said, "Shmay me later."
Free pump chump.
And, brought me to the opinion that modern gamers don't know how good they have it. I've been playing The Lion King.
I'm so glad you bought a PSP Go to play the fucking Lion King.
I have played The Lion King, I have played Aladdin, I have played Mickey's and Donald's World Evolution. And Altered Beast. And what else did I play?
Hey, Altered Beast is available on the PSN.
Yeah, please. I'm not paying that much for it.
Yeah, that whole $5.
With PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, it's free.
I don't have PlayStation Plus. It's not free if you're paying for PlayStation Plus, is it?
It's free to me.
I said free with PlayStation Plus.
Okay. But anyway, those games are bloody hard.
Hey, you know how much PlayStation Plus is? $50.
This is a PSP Go, apparently. Hold on. So what I've heard from you, though, is, hey, I played some Disney games. And I'll do this.
You did. I did indeed.
So, when are you going to get some stuff worth actually doing this for?
No, I've got some good games on there, and I'm quite happy playing them.
Hey, Aladdin was good.
Nobody
Aladdin
said it
was
wasn't.
Bad. The Super Nintendo Lion King wasn't bad, but...
You can't
what
get...
Else?
You can
Please
get
tell me you have something, like, super mega awesome just waiting for you to... Like, that you're just not worthy of, that's why you haven't played it yet.
You can get free shmemulators on the PC.
Yeah, but I was playing at the PC. I want it on the portable. I don't have to justify my pay. Thank you very much.
Did you forget which podcast you were on, John?
Yeah, good point.
I'm not saying you have to justify your purchase, but justify your purchase, man.
Or suffer the ridicule.
Oh, well, ridicule already, like, I am finding it useful.
That's all that matters.
It has a browser. That's really all you need.
Sorry?
$50 portable porn machine.
So I did a bit of that, and yes, that was fun, regardless of what you lot say. What else have I been playing? Mod Nation Races for the PS Vita.
I'm sorry.
That's quite good.
Really?
I'm enjoying it. Yeah, I'm liking it.
Ugh, I hated it.
I'm enjoying it. I think it's. I mean, it's. It would have been better had they had online play, but you know. We all know what happened there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we just cut out legacy features that we don't think people want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Duh.
No, nobody wants Mod Nation. That's why they're making Little Big Planet karting.
Yeah. I think it's all right. It's fun, and I like the control scheme on it in the fact that you actually sort of press a button to... slide as opposed to having to press a brake once and then doing it kind of feels a little bit more fluid and, you know, comfortable on the PS Vita. They don't really push the touchscreen stuff too much unless you're in the menu, so that's all quite good. So I'm enjoying I am enjoying that. And I'm glad you're on the show, Michael. I have finally picked up Skylanders.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that game is fucking incredible.
Uh-huh.
That's so much fun. I haven't... And that's just single player. I haven't played two-player with the girlfriend yet. So that's really, really good fun. I'm worried about how much I'm now going to spend on trying to catch them all. That's probably going to be quite difficult and quite expensive. But I did pick up I've got six. I've got the starter pack, and then I picked up the pack with Flame Strike. That's his name.
Wow.
I can't remember. Stump Smash and which was the other one with that?
Damn, I still don't have Stump Smash.
Really?
Drobot.
Drobot rules, man.
I've got six characters now, and that game is perfect for kids and perfect for adults. They've made a really, really solid game. Well done, Activision. The only thing I'm worried about is at the end of this year when Skylanders 2 comes out, is whether they're going to make you pay out for a whole bunch of new figures, or whether you'll be able to use your leveled up characters that you've already got, and how that's going to play out. But that looks like it's a meaty game. I've been playing for about 3 or 4 hours, and probably only 6 or 7% through. So I know you, both you and Ken, are experienced Skylander players. I don't know how much more have I got for enjoyment. Is there lots there to do?
There's a ton of stuff to do, especially if you don't have the specific element characters yet, because you can go back and get your treasures and your hats and a bunch of extra moves for your characters.
Mm-hmm, cool. And Flynn is fantastic. Flynn is brilliant.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton.
Warburton, yeah, who's in Rules of Engagement. Is that the guy?
Yep, he's been in a lot. He was the Tick in the live-action. In the live-action Tick.
He's Joe Swanson. That's all you need to know.
He's done a lot. He's awesome. He was Putty in Seinfeld.
He's Brock from Venture Brothers.
That's right. There you go.
Who's Joe Swanson? Is that the guy from Family Guy?
Yeah, he wheelchair guy.
Okay, I didn't know his surname. Okay, gotcha. That fits. Because I knew, when I heard his voice, I thought American Dad. And I don't know why, because I hate American Dad. And I watch Family Guy. That didn't even trigger in me that was Joe. But the character's well written, and is perfect for the voice. So I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying that. And picking it up, because I waited for it to drop a bit in price, because it is quite expensive. And I got it for under 40 quid, which is like less than $60 to you guys. And I think that's a good price for that.
They dropped the price on it over here to like 40 or 50 bucks for the starter kit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of, you can get that price online. But in stores, it's still 50 or 60 quid, depending on where you shop. So I was waiting a little while. I picked it up from Amazon in the end, and I'm just so chuffed that I did. That game is just so much fun, and I'm definitely looking forward to playing some more of that and getting some more, trying to find some more Skyland toys and just really geeking out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. That's really all. I mean, I don't think I've really played a lot else. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, so that's it. Next week is going to be pretty slow. I've got a week off work, so me and the girlfriend are heading up to her parents for the week, and so it'll be portable gaming, so I'll be taking my iPad and Vita and
your PSP Go.
And my PSP Go.
$50 portable porn machine.
Yeah, indeed. That'll do. And
that'll do, pig. That'll do.
That'll do, pig.
How did you know that's what I call it?
And I will play some Oh, I did forget Burnout. What's that Burnout game? Crash. iPad. I picked that up.
It's on the iPad now.
It's on the iPad now. Yeah, it came out this week.
Why did you tell me?
Sorry,
I said, why did you tell me that? Now I feel like I need to get it.
It's pretty good. It's actually better than the Xbox version, because that game was meant for a touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
The controlling the vehicle is, instead of having to press A and move your stick in the way you want to go, just flick the cup. So,
move your stick.
Why is everything just about a junk joke to you, Mike?
Okay, because I haven't talked to you guys in one room in weeks, and it's like the building up. I'm like that dog in Van Wilder with the giant balls.
Well, I'm glad you decided to release your pressure on the show. Thanks.
But you need to pick that up, Mike. If you enjoyed the Xbox version, this version is actually better.
Avoided the Xbox version. Didn't you review the Xbox version?
I did, and I didn't. It was an okay game, but
you didn't like it. You told me you didn't like it.
No, it was an okay game. I just
didn't like it.
Read the review. I think I gave it something like a 6 or something. A middling review. It was okay. It is a lot better on the iPad.
There you go.
Boom.
Boom and shakalaka.
All done.
Okay. Well, since we're saving the big stuff for last, I'll flip over to the Wombats.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, how's it going now?
Oh, it's going real good.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. I just want to let everybody know that I've been playing a game...
You gotta keep this up now, mate.
No. About the only thing that I played this week is Disgaea 3, Absence of Detention.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I sent you that message that it was alive.
Yeah, they sent us the code mid-March.
Yeah.
And said it's not going to be active until April 10th. So have fun waiting for 3 weeks with the code in your inbox. But it is active now, and I downloaded it, and I've been playing it. It's Disgaea. So if you've played Disgaea before, you will be instantly familiar. It does have the trademark Disgaea humor. You play as the son of the overlord of the, all these games take place in the Nether realm. So it's all about demons and evil. And so your character decides that due to extensive research that he's done in video games, anime, and manga, that the hero always wins. So in order to defeat his evil overlord father and become the evil overlord himself, he has to be a hero first because the hero always wins. So it's this guy. It's your strategy tile-based RPG with an incredible wealth of depth attached to it. So I'll have a review up for that this week, hopefully, and I'll let you guys know how it shakes out as I play some more of it. But other than that, that's pretty much all I played.
This guy disappoints me. It's one of those games that I've always wanted to play, but I just can't.
Yeah, it's if you're not on board with sort of the slower pace. It can throw you off a little bit. You have to really be interested in playing this type of game because strategy RPGs can be a little, if you're not in the mood for it, it can be a little slow.
All right. Well, I guess I get to go next. Yay! And since Drew wasn't here to talk about Skullgirls, I guess I have to talk about Skullgirls. Oh, Skullgirls. We did a video, a versus video, which is live already. And apparently Drew was having internet problems then, too. Two matches in, he got disconnected.
Do Molly play with that? Is that a fighting game then or something?
Yes, it's a fighting game. It's a 2D fighting game.
I thought it was a platformer.
No.
Okay. My bad.
No.
No.
You buy.
Me, sir, Superman, no home.
We need more lemon pledge.
We need more lemon pledge.
Yes.
Can I just give you money and you buy it?
No, you buy it.
No.
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 No. Anyway. But Skullgirls is a XBLA PSN downloadable 2D fighter. Very competent, very, very pretty. Reminds me a lot of Blaze Blue with the animations and whatnot. I guess my biggest issue with it is that it feels a lot like it was built just for tournament play.
So how much is it?
It's $15. It only has 8 characters. Obviously, they're all girls.
Well, hence the title. That's the reason.
Yeah, but there's DLC coming that's dudes.
Skull dudes.
Skull dudes. It's very competent. It's very pretty. I just with Mortal Kombat already out and Street Fighter Cross Tekken eating up so much of my time, I just don't see myself playing a lot of this game. Not to mention that the single player has a ridiculous SNK style final boss difficulty, enough to make you throw your controller even on easy. And the online still has some quirks, although they did a lot to make it good. Like, you can put the frame delay for the GGPO to make the game smoother or have less lag so that it removes animations to make the game faster online. There are a couple of weird omissions. Like, there's no move list in the game.
Oh, right, you have to go on the website.
Yeah, you gotta go on the website to get the move list. Which is weird because the tutorial is probably one of the best tutorials I've ever seen in a fighting game. It teaches you every single aspect of that game.
I mean, is it kosher to mention that they even had, like, a different reviewer move list than... I guess I just mentioned it.
Well, you mentioned it, but nobody's supposed to know about it.
Oh,
well, they said we couldn't reproduce it.
We couldn't, yeah, we couldn't publish it.
But there is, they sent...
They sent PDFs.
That whole thing was just weird to me.
Yeah, I don't understand that, and I think the biggest comment that upset me about that was he was like, if it sells well, then I'll add it. I'm like, really? Because I guess it costs money to host patches and updates on XBLA and PSN.
Yeah, but putting a move list in a fighting game seems kind of basic.
Yeah, that's one thing that's just... I just don't get it. I don't understand that. But I digress. It's good. It's competent. If you're a tournament fighter, you're probably going to dig it. It has a lot of things that fighting games have struggled with. Like, there's an instant break out of an infinite combo, which is huge. I do like the 1, 2, 3 character mentality where you can pick 1, 2, or 3 characters to play as, and they just adjust the health and damage. So you can literally play 1 against 3, or 3 against 3, or 2 against 1, and it balances itself out. So if you prefer to have multiple characters, you can, but if you prefer to master one, you can as well, which I think is pretty cool. Also, I'm playing a bunch of XBLA games, some of them for review. I know Drew reviewed World Gone Sour, which is only $5, and it's a licensed game, and you'd expect it to suck, but it really kind of doesn't. It's really
good.
Yeah,
his review was great.
It's really kind of
from?
It's Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, I remember writing a few stories about that.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's very
reminiscent in the old days.
Yeah, it's an old school platformer, but at the same time, it's also very not kiddie. Like you kind of expect it to be. Like the narrator's kind of vulgar.
Yay!
He says some kind of dirty things.
It reminded me of a lot of Spot.
Yeah, Cool Spot.
Oh, yeah.
Cool Spot.
Cool, that's an old one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, or the Noid.
It's good, though. It's actually, for $5, I definitely, it does have same screen co-op.
It's very interesting use of the license of the Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you kill bubblegum monsters, because you're in a trash can at the movie theater.
And slow versions of the Sour Patch Kids?
Yeah, the slow versions of the Sour Patch Kids.
Big old red guy.
It's a good game for $5. I definitely, if you're into platformers, I definitely recommend it for $5.
The controls are a little frustratingly loose.
Yeah, they're floaty.
I just want to make sure I understand. So the game takes place in a garbage can at a movie theater, right?
That's where it starts, yeah.
Okay, it starts there. So you start in a garbage can at a movie theater. And the goal is to get into a human's belly, right?
His belly. Yeah, that's true.
And give him what disease because you were fucking sitting in a garbage can.
Yeah, but it don't matter by then. I've got myself cleaned
up. Well,
you're
trying to find your friend. One of them went missing. You got to find him.
You got the blue one and the green one.
Which there are no blue Sour Patch Kids.
That's okay. It's a video
game. Maybe they're
going
to introduce it.
Raspberry would be awesome.
Maybe they're going to introduce it with this game.
I guess that's one way to do it.
Hell yeah.
But no, $5?
No, I want Sour Patch Kids.
I totally recommend World Gone Sour. As much as people probably think it's a stupid thing. Shut up. I also played in preparation for my addiction that's coming this week, which I'd hoped to have this past week. Trials HD. I went back and I was proud of myself that I can still dominate my friend leaderboards. And still finish the extreme tracks. I'm ready. I'm ready for evolution.
You gonna build some tracks?
No, that's not me.
Really?
I'm just happy.
You
want to
troll people with awesomely difficult tracks?
No.
Because the troll thing is, you know, kind of you.
I could. I totally could.
You're gonna need to if you want to get an achievement.
Well, yeah, but I don't need achievements anymore, John. Remember?
You still kick the habit, have you?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm impressed. That's good.
I'm fine without them. But I did play some preparation for that. I'm ready. I'm ready.
You are not ready.
Infinite tracks.
Your body
now.
Is ready.
See, I was refraining from saying something stupid like that. Or I could also go, dat track editor. Oh, Jesus.
Please,
what?
Please don't.
I don't even know what that means.
You don't know the DAT thing?
Audio tape?
No. You're not hip. Go get hip. Come back to
me. Nope. I refuse.
Not for review, because apparently they run out of codes.
Of course they did.
I bought Fez, regardless of everybody not wanting.
Good day.
Because nobody wants to buy it.
A good day.
I hope it gets better.
Wait, hold on.
It is a masterful game, according to everybody.
I just, at this point, all I've done, I mean, I appreciate the art style. I appreciate the chiptune music. I appreciate so much about it. But and I like the whole Echo Chrome, you know, change perspective to move the platform thing. That's neat, okay?
For 5 minutes,
yeah. But my problem with it is that I'm literally just going room to room trying to collect these things, and none of it has seemed overly difficult. Like, it just seems like you go from point A to point B, and there hasn't been a real challenge, and that's kind of where puzzle games come in. It's like, you want to stare at this puzzle for 10 minutes before you get it.
So you want Portal.
Portal 2. Or, I know everybody hates him, but Braid did that well. Where you would stare at a puzzle for like 5 minutes and go, okay, how do I do this?
Yeah, if you manage to separate Jonathan Blow from the game he made, Braid is a good game.
Yeah, you know, and I like that kind of stuff, and so far, I don't get that in Fez. I know I'm very early on, so...
I don't see it changing much.
Well, I hope it does.
No, I mean, just remember, the early segments of Portal and Portal 2 were very accessible. And I don't know, I mean, do you remember, how long did you take in the last co-op chamber of Portal 2?
Oh my god, I did that with Justin first, remember that?
Yeah.
We stared at that thing for like an hour.
I did it with Kelsey, and we did the same thing, and we just tried, and we just kind of experimented, and it was kind of, well, what if we did this, and what if we did that? So, I mean, the early goings of both Portal and Portal 2 were, again, very accessible. So you might find that this game, you know, once you've played through the basic concepts, you get kicked into high gear fast.
I hope so. I'm going to continue to give it a chance, but so far right now it hasn't wrapped me. And I feel like I'm in the minority. I feel like I'm missing something. Because everybody seems to love this game. So
it's got a little interesting concept. But
it does. And I can't help but love the art style.
No, the art style is pretty cool.
I love the whole pixelation, old school look.
I like his hat.
His hat's awesome.
It is, in fact, a Fez.
Which, you know, I don't, you know, understand the name of the game. Does the hat going to have special powers?
I told you,
later on?
He gets the hat at the beginning.
Right, well, I don't understand the name.
It gives him the ability to turn the world.
So will it give him more abilities later on?
I think he gets cubes.
Okay.
Like, he gets some cubes later that can do different stuff.
It
also has QR codes in it that you can snap.
Really?
And they give you, like button combinations that do stuff. It's kind of interesting.
Sweet.
But I hope it gets better. I do. Because so far I'm not overly
sucked
impressed.
In.
Yeah. The one XBLA game I am doing for review, because nobody responded to my emails that saying they wanted to do it, was the Green Apple Splatters. Or just the Splatters.
Jesus.
Green Apple Splatters.
I never got that email.
I'm sorry, John.
I don't even want to know.
You were gone.
What do you mean, gone?
You told me not to send you news on that day, and then you were on vacation, so I figured there was no way you were going to be able to handle it.
Oh, that is a good point.
Yeah,
suck
see?
It, John. Suck it.
But wow. I'm playing that, and that's another game that really got a lot of love from the reviewers, and I'm not seeing it yet.
Yep.
You just need to eat some Chipotle.
I guess.
Gross.
Because basically what you do is you take these paint blobs and you shoot them at these bombs, and if the paint covers the bomb, then it explodes.
Yay!
Yeah. And yay.
I just wonder if it gets better.
No.
Because right now I'm just kind of like, wow, cool.
Glad I didn't buy it.
Glad I didn't put no money in this game. But we'll see. I give it more time.
You better.
I will. But the big game that I've been playing lots and lots and lots of.
Was that your John impression?
Is that no. Your Forrest Gump impression?
It might have been. It's my magic game. It'd take me anywhere.
Oh my god.
But I'm playing The Witcher 2. on Xbox 360.
Now, are you experiencing the screen tearing stuff that I did when I was at PAX?
You know, I don't really notice it.
I saw a couple of it when I saw you play it.
I mean, I'm sure it's there, but I'm not one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those people that it doesn't really bother.
It's not like Darksiders 1.
No, it wasn't that bad.
Once they patched it.
I also want to point out that I was standing way too close to a way too... Well, there's no such thing as a way too big TV. But I was standing way too close to a very large TV. So that kind of thing is going to be really obvious when you're at that distance and that size. So, right. You know, I just didn't know how it translated into the final version when you're sitting a normal human distance away from a TV and not killing your eyes.
It's not that obvious. It's okay. Sometimes it was noticeable, but it wasn't, you know, huge. Like Ryan said, it's not Darksiders 1 before patched.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to be reviewing it as well. My copy's not going to be here until this week, unfortunately, because it's in transit.
But I've put an ample amount of hours into that game, and it is massive. It is a massive, massive game.
Have they simplified all of the control options for
controls
the...
Beautiful.
Because with a PC game, I've been finding that there's so much to take in. You know, for all of the spells, all of the meditating, it doesn't do a great job of spelling it out for you. Has that been resolved? Or
no.
Okay, awesome.
A lot of the stuff that you do in the game, you don't even realize you can do it until you do it. Mm. Like when a quest calls for it. But none of it is overly complex. Like to meditate, you just hold down the left bumper. There you can drink potions, create potions, wait.
But that's cool because it kind of prevents you from doing things in battle that you wouldn't be able to do in battle. Like, I can't just drink a potion while I'm trying to fend off this guy with a sword.
Yeah, because the potions in the game are timed effects. So when you drink them, they last for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, it's more about preparation.
Yeah, before you go into a battle, you have to prepare. You have to get your traps ready because traps are a big part of the combat. But I do love how much there is in that game. And I love how well it's written. The story is very interesting to me. And what I love about the side quests is that none of them are bullshit. They all add to the story if you want more about the story.
I can't wait to play this game.
And not to mention that everything you do in the game affects other parts of the game, but not so obvious when you first do them.
One of the big things about the game, though, is that it doesn't have a good-evil morality system. It has a cause-and-effect system.
Yeah, there's no good and evil. There is do or do not. There is no try.
Ooh.
If I had to pick one thing about the game that drives me absolutely insane, it's the navigation system. Sometimes it's very hard to figure out where you're supposed to go, and with no fast travel, it's a bitch.
Mm. You should have bought that Garmin.
Yeah.
Oh, can I get the Homer Simpson voice? Hey, go over here. No! Oh!
I can remember one quest I ran around for... probably about 40 minutes looking for where I was supposed to go, and I couldn't figure it out because it was upstairs above another part of the town, and I had no idea that it was up there.
SMRT, that spells smart.
And, like, some of the levels that I've been running around in, there's only one entrance to an area, and you're walking towards the beacon on your mini-map, and there's no entrance over there, and you run into a dead end, and you've just wasted 10 minutes walking. So, if I had to pick apart the game for something, that would be it. Everything else is immaculate.
Stop being a hater.
The combat is great. I love the upgrade system because it, like, you feel it when you play. When you do an upgrade, you don't just know that you do 5 more damage. You feel that you do 5 more damage. But yeah, it's really good. It's really good. And the dialogue is hilarious.
Hilarious.
I mean, come on. One of the people told me that that guy was sucking dwarf cock.
So this is a family game.
It's very family. There's lots of sex. Reminds me of Game of Thrones. Lots of booty. Yeah. Lots of booty going on. It's crazy.
That angry Mohawk dwarf was awesome. I like him.
I think all the dwarfs were awesome. I'm talking about taking a shite. But no, if you're into action RPGs, this is one game, and it's not. When you start playing it, the biggest thing is that you want to give it time to settle, because you can't just hop in, start mashing the button, and expect to win. The game is very challenging. Sometimes it's best to run, and I love the two-sword approach, how you have the one sword that's good against monsters, and the other sword is good against humans. So, that's a cool dynamic as well. And I love how you can pour the different oils on your sword to give you more attack damage or special abilities. So, no, this game is wonderful. It really is, and I'm so glad that we finally get to play it on a console and not have to worry about a massive PC. And it doesn't suffer a lot. I mean, it still has glitches here and there, and it doesn't look nearly as sharp as the PC version, but it's still a damn pretty game.
Yes. Hey, I got a question. I know that one of the... because I asked this when I talked to the designers at PAX. One of the videos that's included on the disc is kind of a primer that kind of gets you oriented. But there's another video on YouTube, I'm assuming it's on YouTube and probably on the official site, that actually gives you a breakdown of what happened in the original game if you don't care about it being spoiled and want to kind of get up to speed, right?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
It's not on the disc.
Yeah, so you have to go seek it out. And for those of you who never intend to play the original one, or even if you do and you want to play this first because, you know, it's in your hands and it's brand new, you know, go check it out, I think.
I do like how they handle it in the second game. It makes it that you don't have to, because he lost his memory, and throughout the story he'll slowly pick up pieces of his memory.
Oh, nice.
So, that's really well done.
Cool.
I did play a couple other things for review, as our site seemed to be filled with a lot of hate this week.
What the hell?
That was me and John tearing up some games. But I played Wrecked Revenge Revisited, which was bloody awful. I know I talked about that a couple weeks ago. I know John texted me the other day. He's like, hey, did you play this? I'm like, go read the review.
Yeah. Okay, literally the first chapter. Okay, I won't be spending 1,200 points on this.
No, what kills me is it's 1,200 points with day one DLC for $5. So if you want the whole game, it's $20.
Oh, that's just crazy.
That's what we call bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Wheels of Destruction is the other game I played. It's the PS3, PSN, second attempt at a, Twisted Metal clone, which had nothing going for it outside of the level design.
Yeah, because really, right after Twisted Metal releases and is a lot of fun, you need a Twisted Metal clone.
Yeah, one that's generic and boring, and pointless if you're not playing online, which is almost pointless if you are playing online, because there's like five people playing. So yeah, don't recommend that one either. As far as future fondling goes, I know me and Drew and K-Dub and our new guy, Dave, are tearing through the Resident Evil mission tonight.
Maybe.
I'm excited.
Oh, is that the
I
box
might
DVD
not
is?
Be able to be on there with the pending PC fire.
Okay. So. Well, I'm sorry if you don't make it.
Yeah, well, so am I.
But I still like Operation Raccoon City, and I'm excited because this new mission is story-based. And then there's going to be six more after it.
Our reviewer also liked it. You know, if you go in knowing what it is, you know?
I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I especially like it when we get two, three, four people playing.
It's better that way.
It's much better that way. So I'm excited to play through that. And then, of course, I will finish The Witcher for my review, which I didn't feel comfortable. Our embargo did lift on Friday, but I did not feel comfortable writing the review because I'm only about halfway through it. So, I will do that this week, and then, of course, come whenever the code shows, or on Wednesday, if the code doesn't show, I'm spending my money because I can't wait.
I forgot, I'll be playing that, too.
Trials Evolution, baby.
Playing that, too.
Could be my game of the year.
It's not even out yet.
Do you know how much I played the first one?
I know how much you played the first one.
I think that was my game of the year that year.
Yeah, it was, I think.
You have no idea how much I love those frickin' games. Oh, but that's... and I started Uncharted on the Vita. I'm gonna play through that. And it's good so far. I'm only on chapter 2 or 3, I think. So I just started. Oh, but that wraps up all of our fondlings. Now I get to go over and we get to talk for the reason that he's here. Mr. Futon, we shipped him off to Boston last week.
Yes, sir.
To go play lots of...
Unfortunately, he came back.
No! Good one.
But he played a lot of games, and unfortunately, none of the games were as important as the nakedness of the show, because that's the top story out of a show where people got to play, you know, Max Payne and...
Yeah.
XCOM and...
That and the dude stripping his pants off and...
Yeah, those are the important things that should come out of PAX. But anyway, you played a lot of games.
I played a lot of games.
And you wrote a lot of previews.
I wrote 15 pieces.
15 pieces.
Which is more than I think I've ever written in any weekend. I also know that that's an environment where I'm very good. When I can kind of focus on what it is I'm there to do. So... it was a lot of fun, and I was thrilled to be able to do the coverage for you. You know, one of the things, you know, I got an iPad right before I went because my Android tablet just decided to not cooperate. One of the things that I saw that I actually didn't write up, which I'm kind of proselytizing heavily. Do you guys remember Choose Your Own Adventure books?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So imagine those combined with. RPG elements where you roll a character at the beginning and fight and do that, and you've got something called Gamebook Adventures by Tin Man Games. They were at the show, and I had a chance to talk with them. So if you have an iPad and you like Choose Your Own Adventures, you should check out. There's one that's actually free in the App Store. It's the 8th one. They have 8 out right now. So you can get it, try it out, and it's an in-app purchase. There's also the first one is a light app, so you can check that out.
Is it only iPad?
No, iPhone too. Just different interfaces.
Word.
Yeah. So it's iPhone 4 and up, though, I think.
Well, of course.
I'm sorry.
No, I have the... Never mind. I have the 4S, so I'm good.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. But that's something, you know, if you like those, you should check them out. But the bulk of what I saw was some amazing stuff coming later this year for console. And I guess, what do you guys want me to talk about?
Everything.
Make it like I was actually there.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then here's what I'm going to say. My game of show was not something that you could have easily found on the show floor. And I kind of cocked my head a little bit when Ken set up the appointment, but I had a chance to sit down and play Clay's new game. So if you liked Shank and you like Shank 2, but were kind of put off by the mindlessness of it, Mark of the Ninja, which is coming this summer, is a stealth-based action platformer that has that same absolutely gorgeous art style. And I actually got a chance to talk with Nels Anderson, who, for lack of a better term, is the lead designer on the game. God, I hope I got that right. But he's heavily involved with the game, and very much like the original Splinter Cell game, where you're dealing with light and you're dealing with sound. This is handled the same way, where you can break light bulbs. And, you know, your default movement is like kind of a slow creep, but you can sprint. And as you sprint and your footsteps hit, there's like a radial thing that kind of emits that shows if it ripples out to where a guard can hear you or within distance, you know, you can tell visually that they can hear you. And you can use that to your advantage because you can set up traps and stuff like that. But it's a very, very cool game. And it is Microsoft. So there is a chance, and my fingers are crossed for them, that it's going to be summer arcade, because it would be huge for them. They're a very cool studio, and all of their artists have a background in 2D art. Really, really good. Kind of going in the complete opposite direction, you know, I had a chance to actually get my hands on Max Payne 3.
That's exciting.
It was unbelievable. You know, one of the things that blew me away when I was talking to the Rockstar rep was he said, all right, so you're seeing loading screens now. When this game ships next month, it will not have any loading screens. None whatsoever. You will never see a black screen. You will never see a loading screen. That's pretty impressive because this game is stunning. I mean, if you were worried about it in Rockstar's hands because, you know, Remedy has kind of moved on from the property... you don't need to be worried. It feels very much like Max Payne, with updated for our current generation sensibilities. Bullet Time feels great. It's still hard. Oh my god, is it hard. But there is something called Last Man Standing, which, if you remember, Borderlands, Second Wind thing, it's that. If you take a fatal blow, you can shoot the guy who killed, who landed that blow. If you have painkiller, so it does use a painkiller. But you go into slow-mo, and if you hit him, you can actually use the A button to slow down time and just keep pumping bullets into him. You know, you kind of have this very cinematic control over the game, as you're playing. So unbelievable. And, you know, if you liked the first and second one, there's no reason you shouldn't be, you know, extremely excited for this. Going in yet another direction. One of the games that I, was very excited to see announced a couple months ago, and ended up being a super treat for me was XCOM Enemy Unknown. You know, turn-based strategy is always one of those things where I like, but it always bogs me down because it feels so static. Pick a guy, move a guy, attack with guy. He doesn't do anything until he takes damage or it's the next turn. The way they have handled the squad-based stuff, for instance, if you choose to lay down suppressing fire, which actually locks an enemy in place, which is what suppressing fire should do, they can't move or they're going to get shot, so they just don't move. They lose their movement for the next turn. The guy who's laying down suppressing fire keeps firing throughout the turn. You could look and see exactly what's going on in the battlefield without going, wait, what did I have that guy do again? You know, which guy can't move? So it lets you set up things very easily, like one guy lays down suppressing fire, and the other guy sneaks around and tosses a grenade in the one guy's lap. He's like, well, crap, I can't move, and this grenade is going off. That's a problem. Yeah. So, I mean, there was just a lot of cool stuff at the show. I had so much fun. I got to interview Suda. I forgot to, you know, I probably should have led with that. I got one. Shadows of the Damned. And just a cool guy. Lollipop Chainsaw we got to play. It was the shortest demo on the floor. I mean, literally, they had us in an air-conditioned bus with seating. So it was, you know, for pure comfort. And anybody who's ever been to one of these things knows that there's no place to sit down, and it's always hot and nasty and all that stuff.
It stinks.
Oh, God. It stinks. Thankfully, they were giving away 5-hour energy, though, which just kills your senses. So, yeah, I didn't sweat. But it was so nice to actually be in that bus and just cool, calm. And there was a chick who was sitting on it. And then... God, do you guys have any questions? What do you want to know?
I wasn't aware there was homework.
I did see a trailer for that. Is it, would you say Mark of the Ninja? Is that what it's called? Sorry, you're going really quiet.
Mark of the Ninja, yes.
Yes, okay. I did see some gameplay footage of that. I mean, did you play any of it?
Yes. Yes, I did. First level.
My one concern was that, obviously, the trailer that they'd shown was just showing how you moved around, done stealth kills, but every time you did a stealth kill, it was exactly the same animation. Is that the case? Because that would get a bit boring.
No, it's not. So a lot of your stealth kills are done behind doors, underneath, you know, grates, in air vents, and what happens is there's when you initiate a stealth kill, it actually goes. You initiate it with the X button, and then to complete it, you use a direction on the left thumbstick and the X button again. Okay. And the directions are different. And the reason for that is you can do perfect stealth kills or they can be imperfect kills. And for instance, if you're in an air vent and you do a perfect kill, you will grab the guy through the air vent, stab him in the chest, and then the body's actually already hidden.
Oh, awesome.
And if you do an imperfect kill, there's a chance of somebody hearing you. So they're still working on the animations and they're still not all done yet, but there's also different weapons. Can actually set it up so that you can kind of Spider-Man down off of this grappling hook and like back behind. So part of it is from a puzzle perspective, thinking about the best way to approach a room, and some of it is using your tools to your advantage. So in terms of being bloody, it's as bloody as Shank is, absolutely. but it's handled in such a way that the story and the voice acting are fantastic. I mean, not that they weren't, but it's a much more simple game. Shank and Shank 2.
Shanky.
Shanky.
That sounds cool.
Were there any Vita games that were worth mentioning?
I played. Sony wasn't there, so there wasn't a huge presence. Not like Nintendo was with Kid Icarus and Mario Tennis. And I just looked at Kid Icarus quickly so I could grab a pack of the writing cards. I played Mortal Kombat Vita. If you can logically think about the game as never having a chance of looking as good as the console versions of it, you will be happy. Because it plays well. It controls very well. The new mini games are cool. There's new there's new Challenge Tower missions. There's new mini games like Tester Slice, which is kind of like Fruit Ninja.
Cool.
Which is kind of like, you know, Uncharted's thing. Although they were working on it before Uncharted came out, so it's not a ripoff. But one of the cool things is they poke fun at Capcom for the control scheme for Marvel vs. Capcom 3, where you can kind of just tap the screen. There is one Challenge Tower mission where you're Johnny Cage, and all you have to do is tap the screen to win.
Nice.
So, that would be a game that I got my hands on at the show.
Well, speaking of Capcom, did you play any of, or did you get to see any of the Resident Evil stuff?
No, let's see. Operation Raccoon City was there. I don't think Resident Evil 6 was at the show, and they weren't scheduling appointments. I did actually see Steel Battalion in action, and it's interesting. It looks to be, assuming the motion controls work as well at home as they do in environments that they created, and that's always. It could be very interesting. I waited in line for over an hour because they weren't, and I had five people in front of me, and I'm just, you know what, screw this. I'm not staying in line anymore when, you know, you're letting people sit there for half an hour, 45 minutes in two stations. So in terms of setup, that wasn't that good. But I liked what I saw of it. And there was a lot of hands-off stuff. And I guess for those of you who've never been to PAX, you know, sometimes you get hands-on with a game, and there's huge demo stations. I actually didn't have a chance to play Far Cry 3. I didn't have a chance to play Ghost Recon Future Soldier, but they were there. Assassin's Creed 3 was also there, and it was a pre-recorded video with Alex Hutchinson, who is the lead designer on the game, and it was taking you through, in a 10-minute video, kind of what the changes were to Assassin's Creed 3. It looks freaking believable. Some of the smartest things they've done to change up the gameplay to make it seem fresh. Did I just get hung up? Did I hung?
No, you're still there.
Someone hung up.
You're still there.
Hey, woohoo! Some of them you actually get hands-on time with, some of them you don't. So, like Aliens Colonial Marines, Mikey Newman actually ran the session that I was in, and they showed, like, the whole huge first level.
And is that still something that's being developed? I thought that got canned on.
Looks fantastic. Sega's publishing it. Gearbox is developing it. And it's very authentic. And if you see the Aliens movies, you are going to really improve. The pulse sounds, you know, amazingly real. You know, amazingly like it in the game. Having the smart gun, being able to strap that on and, you know, have it hit the Xenos as they're kind of rushing in at you. You know, it looks good. I was very impressed with it. I didn't know what to expect going in, but given how authentic it is, it's going to make people very.
What about? Did you play? Was Guacamelee on the Vita?
No, it's going to be Xbox.
Really? I'm excited because I really love those guys' last game.
It's So essentially what the game features, the story of the game is you play as this guy Juan, or his friend, and I'm actually reading the story right now, Tostada, that's her name. It's all local co-op, so there's no online, which is good, because the game involves a shifting mechanic between the world of the living and the world of the dead. And sometimes it's a Metroidvania game. Sometimes platforms will appear in one or in the other, and enemies but they can still hit you, so you kind of need to shift back and forth to defeat enemies. So what ends up happening is both of you have the ability to shift worlds. And my suggestion is, if you do end up playing this on the couch with somebody when it finally comes out, if they don't change it, leave one person responsible for shifting. Because I was sitting there playing co-op with a guy, and he and I just kept shifting, and it just screwed us up as we were jumping. The game has an amazing art style. It's hilarious. There's actually a Chozo statue from Metroid.
Nice.
You know, there's a giant El Pollo Loco who pretty much says something, you know, or El Pollo, or whatever his name is, who says something along the lines of, it's a secret to everyone, when you find it, it's a secret.
Nice.
There's this wise man. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of, it's very, very funny. And the art style is very distinctive. The gameplay is tight. It's not coming out until the beginning of next year, though.
Interesting.
I was shocked when I asked him, I'm like, when are you guys targeting? He goes, we're going to finish it at the end of the year. Should be out early 2013.
Hmm. Well, I guess the only other big game that I have a question about is, I played Spec Ops ages ago, but I keep hearing good things about the new version.
Yes, yes, yes. And I actually had a chance to talk with Corey Davis, who's the lead designer on the game. And I asked him, he was a very nice guy, and I met him before I played the game, and I knew I was going to be talking to him after, and I rolled the dice and took a chance, and the first question I asked him was, so why another military shooter? And thankfully I guessed right, and that it was a question he was happy to answer, as opposed to beating the crap out of me, because he's a big guy and he could have done that. The game is a third-person shooter. Nolan North voices the lead character. He gives it, like, extra credibility in my world. The animations are just...
Are just what?
Are just what?
If you
look. Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
There he is, look.
Kind of.
We're dropping everybody.
I think we lost him.
What's up?
Well, we got him, not back. You.
My internet just all of a sudden just silenced.
Are you guys all on dial-up? Like, seriously.
I think it's the aliens, man.
Like Skynet today or something.
Yeah, freaking, yeah.
So you guys can't hear me at all?
No.
I can hear you now.
So, Spec Ops. the animations are amazing, and you think that Battlefield and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, the animations are good. No. Not now. These... And again, we were playing on the easiest mode, so it felt more... they were gonna... That was it. And if you pull off a headshot, especially at close range, that head kind of... So...
The head kind of what? You died again.
Yeah. Hang on. The head disappears. Poof.
Magic. It's a magic bullet.
It's a retelling of Heart of Darkness by Conrad. In fact, the main antagonist is named John Conrad. There is... Have you guys seen... Now?
What?
This is going tits up.
It is. It really is.
I have no idea what's going on. I can hear you guys. It's fine.
You keep cutting out.
I blame the internet.
There's something going on the internet.
Yeah.
So, what I was saying was, it's a retelling of Heart of Darkness, the Joseph Conrad story.
Okay.
You guys read Heart of Darkness?
No, I have not read.
Do you think I read anything?
So, the main antagonist in the game is named John Conrad. Have you guys seen Apocalypse Now?
Nope.
Yeah. I've seen it a long time ago.
You remember Dennis Hopper's character, Reporter?
Yeah. Vaguely.
there is a character in the game that his name is Radio Man. So it becomes... The whole story of the game is Dubai gets cut off from the world because it's ravaged by sandstorms. And this guy Conrad's unit is ordered to abort the evacuation of Dubai, disobey. Your team goes in to find out what the hell happened. And it starts... It's almost kind of Blair Witch in the way the emotional states of these guys on your team devolve. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen Blair Witch Project.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah.
So remember this... The guy who loses the map.
This is going nowhere.
What is up with the internet today?
It's full of ninjas.
I know it's real windy where I'm at.
It's full of grave ninjas.
Oh, yeah. The grave ninjas.
It's full of Mark of the Ninjas.
We can't hear him at all.
I blame Anonymous.
You blame Anonymous? Is he hacking our Skype conversation?
Probably.
I thought they were all in jail.
No. There was a rumor they were supposed to bring down the internet a while ago, and they're probably doing it now.
They're bringing down the entire internet?
That's Laws is fine.
Is this any better?
I hear you for that moment.
Yeah.
Trying to switch back to my... All right, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yay.
Yeah, we got you.
All right. You don't need to shout, mate.
Try to go through this fairly quickly. So, Heart of Darkness retelling, Apocalypse Now. You've got this whole situation where the mental states of your team kind of... and crumble, and there's also these choices that play into it. Again, kind of weaving a morality into the game, although, again, not good, evil, kind of cause and effect, like we talked about. So, I liked it.
There you go. Alright, well, we're having too many issues with this, so I think I'm going to jump over to the Twitter. But we got some good information.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Did you see Dragon's Dogma?
I didn't get a chance to see it or play it. It was there. It was a crazy few days, and that's one of my regrets, is not spending time going to see it.
Well, I don't know how big Capcom's presence were, because apparently they had their Captivate event around the same time.
A couple weeks before.
Yeah, I think that's why they weren't showing anything. They weren't scheduling appointments and stuff.
They weren't going to show Lost Planet because it wasn't allowed to be announced yet. But anyway, I'm going to hop over to the Twitter real quick and close this crazy show out. We just got a few. Gray F34 says, "Hey guys, it's been a while. I just started my copy of Mass Effect 3 on 360. Loving every minute of it." That's good. As long as the last 5 minutes don't ruin you. Which is stupid. He also says, "E3 question. Of the big three, do you think that Nintendo has to have the best showing due to all or lack thereof info on the Wii U?" Which there was an interesting news story this week that they're talking about the system may not be called the Wii U.
Good.
Yeah.
It might be called
called the Wii something.
The Wii Entertainment System.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'd rather have the Wii U.
I'd rather have them just scrap the Wii name, period, and just call it something else.
They need to trade on
that name.
I'd rather it being called the Dolphin.
Dolphins are pretty smart.
Yep. I think the Dolphin would be pretty sweet.
Especially shaped like a dolphin.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And the controller shaped like a dolphin.
Yeah, but yeah, I think Nintendo needs to have
the console shaped just like every other console, because some things just don't need to change.
Nintendo definitely has to have a big show.
This is critical for them, I think.
Well, awesome? They're going to come out at E3 and they're going to show Darksiders 2, Ninja Gaiden 3, Batman Arkham City.
That's going to be a winning show.
Look what you can play on the Wii U.
Look what we've already played.
Yeah, I think it's important for them to have a strong show. I don't know that they necessarily have to have the best show. Because I don't know. I think that gets kind of silly, the whole who had the strongest show kind of thing. But I do think it's important for them to have a strong show.
Yeah, the thing is, personally, I think the company that needs to have the strongest show, Microsoft, just because the past like two or three E3s, Microsoft has sucked.
Their show but we talked about this last year. Their show might have been lame, but if you think about how well the few things they had announced did last year, and Sony was the one who flopped. I mean, Resistance 3, Uncharted 3, those games didn't sell nearly as well as people thought they were gonna.
Sony was weak last year. The only thing that got me excited at Sony's press conference was the Vita.
The whole Microsoft show, they were very Kinect heavy, which they need to get away from, in my opinion.
They won't because they're making that a critical success to their
They still haven't. We still haven't heard anything else from Microsoft about that one serious Kinect game. I can't remember what it was called. But it was like a sword fighting game, like knights and.
Oh, you're talking about the one from Crytek.
Yes.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, now it looks like the most serious.
Yeah, I forgot all about that game, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it seems like the most serious hardcore game that's coming out for the Kinect is Steel Battalion. But now you've got Mass Effect, which actually moved Kinect units because of the voice commands. Now Skyrim is getting voice commands. Fuzzrodon.
That's awesome.
He's awesome.
If you say so.
And
I
then,
think that's really funny.
And then, you know, Ghost Recon has the gunsmith thing, which looks kind of cool.
Which I'll do with my controller.
Exactly. Yep.
Just announce Killer Instinct, you win E3, end of story.
Oh my god!
That's never going to happen!
Don't say that. Don't say it's never going to happen. Ed Boon has not shut the door on it.
I really wish it would happen soon so I can hear you shut the fuck up about it.
Oh, it won't shut them up.
Hell no, it won't
shut
them up.
Wasn't there meant to be a story or something on a magazine about a killer game coming out?
Yeah, I don't think that's come out yet.
Yeah, for some reason
that
has
not. Come out yet.
Yeah, for some reason that magazine has not surfaced yet, which is weird.
I also want to point out that there was that huge spread for South Park, the RPG,
mm-hmm.
that claimed, like, hey, it's going to be out this year. It's going to be out this fall. That is up in the air right now. Not that the game's going to happen at all, because you know, even if THQ doesn't survive this financial stuff, Obsidian isn't owned by THQ, so some other publisher could pick that game up, and Matt and Trey want that game to happen. They contracted Obsidian independently. But between Darksiders 2 now possibly missing the June 26th date...
Oh, which sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the funny thing was that when I asked that question in the interview with Danny Bilson, I was expecting him to say either, yes, we're sticking to that June 26th date that we announced, or no...
No comment.
No comment. But instead it was, we haven't made an announcement yet. It's like, okay, well, yeah, you kind of have. You announced June 26th. So, you know, the best thing about that is they said, look, we're going to give the team time. We're not going to release it until it's ready, which, quite frankly, is a mentality and an approach that I appreciate. But at the same time, you know, that's, from a financial perspective, disconcerting. And then when I asked about South Park, are we still on track, you know, play this game at the end of this year? It'll be tight. It'll be close was the answer I got. It might not happen. It might slip, and those are not all direct quotes, but you know, but that was the intent right there. You know, it's going to be tight. It's you know, it's not a guarantee. So you know, we're talking about two of THQ's biggest games in a period where they absolutely need success. I would actually argue if anybody needs to have a killer E3, it's THQ.
Yeah,
mm. Yeah.
Unless they're going to be announcing Saints Row 4.
I wouldn't count on that.
I didn't actually get to ask him what Volition was working on. I ran out of time, unfortunately.
All right. RIP Skate Destroy says, hey guys, good to have you back. Don't ever leave us like that again. I had to listen to other podcasts. It was horrible.
Fuck that shit.
Fixer says, 1 month till Diablo 3. I cannot wait. Also...
Yeah, that'll get delayed.
Also, Cabin in the Woods is awesome.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
Isn't that Justin?
Oh, yeah.
If anybody says anything, I will punch you in the face, because apparently
I so want to watch that film.
Yeah.
It is me too.
That is Josh Whedon.
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah?
We should go when the girls are having the girls' night out.
I was about ready to say that.
There you go.
Sweet.
Hey, Justin, why don't you come along?
You know you're invited.
I know.
You dick. Slickshot says, hey guys, wondering if you've tried out Fez. I love it so far. Do your opinions of developers ever prevent a purchase? I have played it. I spoke a little bit about it. But no, my opinion of developers never. I will buy Jonathan Blow's next game if I find it interesting.
Right.
As much as I hate him.
Really cool. The next game.
Yeah, so I still think it's pretentious for him to go around telling everybody that they're doing it wrong in the gaming industry when you've got one game under your belt.
Yeah.
But doesn't matter if his games are good, I'll still play them. H Dogger says, go see Cabin in the Woods. This is not a request.
I see a pattern emerging here.
Jeez, this is not even a movie podcast. This movie must be real good.
Bring back Firefly.
Oh, shut up. Keep Firefly in the trash where it belongs.
Oh, shut your face.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, this is why we don't have anything.
Yeah, because it gets canceled.
If it was a nice thing, it'd still be here. Because
Fox decides to kill every good show it has.
Well, except for the good shows that are still on.
Oh, well, you know, Family Guy had to come back.
Mm, yeah, and House is still on.
Not anymore. It'll be over in about five episodes.
And that's fine. It's run its course.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, at least let... Never mind. You know, it didn't... Shut up.
It ran its course.
Yeah, that did, but it didn't... You know, other shows didn't get a chance.
Yeah, well, they sucked.
They do... No, you suck.
And finally, Jay Morongo says, Gamefly, it's garbage. I've been waiting on them to send me a game now for 1.5 weeks.
Yep.
Wow. In this day and age.
That's crazy. But that's all the tweets. So apparently what we take from this is that we need to go see Cabin in the Woods.
Yep. And Gamefly sucks, but we knew that.
Yeah, we knew Gamefly sucked. So
we're
good on that.
We don't have Gamefly over there. Probably a good lucky thing.
Yep.
Yeah, you're lucky. But that's it. That's everything. That's a massive gaming show. Okay.
I'm sorry that you guys had trouble hearing me. That makes me sad in the pants.
No worries.
We got a lot of info.
Word.
We talked about a lot of games. Yeah. We got a lot of games coming up. We got E3 around the corner, which I'm stoked to do that show.
It's always fun, yeah.
It's always fun to talk about Killer Instinct again.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to hang myself.
Oh, dude, you know you won it just because I'll do the video.
Good point.
I mean, at this point, you guys want it as bad as I do.
Oh, yes, exactly. So, again, you will just... Every year, oh, Killer Instinct.
You know what? I got to listen to you bastards bitch about Firefly.
I brought it up once.
No, I've had to, every time I talk about it. It was a good show.
Well, every
so
time
good.
You bring up Killer Instinct, guess what I'm going to do? Firefly.
I don't have to worry. You're never here.
Shut up. I'll have someone else do it then.
Anyway, Mr. Khan, you have your shout-outs.
Yes, I do. I give a big old shout out to the Front Tours Gamer Radio.
I like how you podcast. Accent that every week, man.
Yep. Another shout out to the Y'all Gen Gamers podcast. A shout out to the Red Sun Gamer podcast. And to the new shout out, the Gamer Horizon podcast.
We've got some new shit going down.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta be adding stuff. You gotta break the flavor.
I have a shout out.
What's your shout out?
I like to thank Michael Futor.
Oh, thank you.
For a wonderful job of his PAX coverage. It was a pleasure having you back, and it was very informative.
Thank you,
yes,
sir.
Thank you.
It was really nice to see you again. Good to be back.
I think there's a petition out amongst our listeners to bring you back.
Really?
I think we should start a Kickstarter.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that is right in my wheelhouse.
I know.
Crazy games? That's my bag. Wow. I will, anytime you guys want me back, I'm available.
Maybe we'll have you come back for the E3 show. That would be wild.
I'm going to drive up there with a boombox and go outside his window.
You're going to do the John Cusack thing.
You know me, mate. I'm always up for some 2 o'clock in the morning E3 watching.
Oh my God. Oh, there is a slim chance I might actually be going.
Ooh.
I actually filed for my media cred, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I know that a bunch of us are talking about making a PAX trip next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will definitely be at PAX next year. I mean, no doubt.
So there you go. But that's awesome. That's the show. That was a fun show.
Yep.
And we're done, I think. So, I guess, Gambus, you can do yo thing.
Get the cluck out of here.
Get the cluck out, dude.
Yeah, get the cluck out right here. And it goes something like this.
Epic fail.
Welcome to the N4G Podcast.
Oh, you can... It's me, Mario!
Zero Dollar.
This is going to be a very interesting episode.
Greetings, programs. I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat.
And I always live in angry.
Killer Wolverine. Play games, not consoles. No fanboys allowed.
And then I killed the dragon. 8.0.
Killed the dragon.